and welcome to episode 48 of the Low Carb Universe Show. It's the first one in 2019. How exciting!
It's super exciting, and we got an exciting subject.
We do, because it's not just 2019, it is also 10 years ago that Bitte started eating low carb. So woohoo! We thought that we would celebrate a little bit, woohoo! But yes. Also go through a few key things with our resident expert on all things low carb, Bitte Kempe Björkman. So, how did it start?
It started with my bad tummy. I had gastritis, and I had been having trouble for 10 years, going on medication. And you know, you had those attacks, and I ate white rice and white bread, and that was I googled for a diet that would help me, and I ended up at Dr. Annika Dahlqvist's blog. And I read what she had written there, and I thought she was crazy because I was the former Weight Watcher powder eating lady, done all the diets, you know. But something actually got stuck in my head, and I thought it makes sense in some way. And actually, the other day, I actually Googled in an old, the very first forum. In Sweden for low carbers, and I found myself there actually already in January 2008. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I thought, could I actually have been counting so much wrong? No, I entered there because I was eating the GI diet, the glycemic index, and I was sort of doing a mix of it, because in the GI diet, I should eat full fiber bread, you know, and things like that. So it is. So I quit, and I'm back in January 2009, and ever since then I've been low carb.
So congratulations! That is quite the achievement.
Yes, it is. And but no, actually, it, because it's so simple for me. It's so easy for me to do this. And I was lucky enough to have a very quick no troubles when adapting to this way of eating. Yes, and well, it was like I was made to eat real food. I think everyone actually. I will close my email program, pling, and so I had no problems at all, and it was like I had ended up in heaven when I went all in for this diet.
Yeah,
and I lost weight, and my tummy got better. My gastritis is almost gone. I can have a few attacks a year now, per each year, and mostly actually if I travel very, very far, if I change the time zones, I get so messed up, and I have to take 1.5 days just to recover, because I know that my tummy is going to. I might believe that it could have something with the circadian.
I was thinking something like that too.
Yes, I think so. Maybe it's that. So yeah, but but otherwise, you continue.
No, I wanted to ask you that, or actually, just touch back on something you just said. It was that you were made to eat real food, and I really agree with the fact that I think we are all made to eat real food.
We are.
So that's why it's so fascinating with going low carb, is because, you know, you get these like really quick results in many, many cases.
Yeah.
And it is because the body's like, oh my God, I recognize this. This is awesome fuel. Woohoo.
Yeah. You know? Yes. It's such a happy feeling because you're just like, woohoo. And after a while, and that depends on that's very individual, but after a while you get this energy boost and you get all alert and you want to get out and you want to run and you want to exercise and your head is, your brain fog is gone and everything. So anyone who hasn't tried it, I feel pity for them because they should do. And it's so easy. And that is one thing that's during those 10 years, how I've changed in my, how I think about food and low carb. Because in the beginning, in here in Sweden, it also, we could say that the low carb movement started here in some way. People were smart in other places as well, all over the globe. But here it's something happened here in Sweden. And I think it's because we've been on the internet and the people have had access to internet for many, many years here in Sweden. Because of the government, because they said everyone should be on the internet and should have access, and you could buy computers cheap with a reduction from the state, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So so I think because this is the low carb movement is an underground movement that started like on the internet. We hadn't been here at all if it wasn't for the internet.
Exactly. And with a few very passionate souls.
Oh, you bet.
Who wanted to drive it further. So like Dr. Dahlquist, like you mentioned.
Yes.
And
Dr. Andreas Enfeldt.
Of course.
And we also have Sten Sture Skaldeman. He's a real pioneer here in Sweden. And his regime with the diet is actually the carnivore one.
Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah. Yes, it's very close. So he found out that he was so obese and he said, I don't care, I will eat myself to death. And he started eating bacon and eggs.
Yeah.
And then he started to lose weight and regain his health.
Yeah. So Sten Sture is back in fashion.
Yes, he is.
With the carnivore.
So all cred to him. All cred to him, yes. And no, but when I started then, it was all in the beginning. But because even if you come up with something great like this way of eating, you also create rules, and that's very good to start with because you need some rules to learn about.
Absolutely.
Yes, but then the more I learned and the more I've been meeting people from other places in the world and listening to them and reading and keeping in touch, I it's like they come a bit further than us in Sweden. I think so, because we are very much into the fat thing still.
Absolutely.
And, you can see people that, I eat low carb and I eat 80% is fat and I won't lose any weight.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, surprise. But in the beginning, because I ate a lot of fat.
Yeah, I think we all did.
And I ate so much food and it was like I think you need an adaptation period for your body to understand that fat is coming, energy is coming, you can drop the thing you have on your body.
Exactly.
You're carrying it around, yeah.
We can use our butts.
Yes, we can use the butt fuel, you know. Yeah, and so I think that that we have to rethink and relearn and be... What you call what is ödmjuk now in English?
Humble.
Humble. We need to be humble, and when things doesn't work, we need to look around us and see what other things. Because it this is what you eat is not like something that is written in cement or something.
No, it's
like
not
in
linear
concrete.
And it's not static. No. You have to be sort of. You have to be flexible, and as you said, it's very important when something doesn't work for you that you do find out what does work for you, and this is something we say all the time. But
yeah.
I think that's very important, and that actually I think personally that is how staying keto and low carb or whatever label you want to put on it, this is how it becomes sustainable. I guess that was going to be a huge question for you. How is being low carb sustainable for this long? Because this is one of the critiques, of course.
Yes, and I have changed throughout the years because I got so very interested and I also educated myself to become a dietary advisor. I've been trying a lot. I was one of the first in Sweden, I think, testing my ketones and things like that. But I've always done it just because I've been curious.
Exactly.
Not that I had any problems, you know. And my weight has been like, I've been going up and down 2 or 3 kilos the other way.
It's
and
very it hasn't stable. Been.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But I'm short, so I notice when I get when I gain 3 kilos. But it has never been the main goal for me.
Yeah.
I haven't been. Sometimes I can say I've been a bit worried, but then something happens because something you can't always have an answer to what's happening in your body. It's just go with the flow.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that when you are getting more and more concerned, especially when you got just a few kilos overweight, you start to stress. And you start to get anxious about what can I do? What, and that will start the whole spiral in your body. And try not to think about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. We all know what stress does to our bodies generally in terms of health. But it also makes our bodies hold on to all the energy because it needs it to keep safe in a stressful situation.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that... in the beginning, I ate like five times a day, I think, because everything was so nice. I could eat everything that had been taboo for all my life.
Yeah, it was finally tasty.
Yes, exactly.
After finally years tasty. Of Weight Watchers and other crap.
but then after I can't remember when, but I quit eating breakfast and I started going 16-8 before anyone talked about it, because I felt that I wasn't hungry, I didn't need breakfast, and so I just did that, and then I learned that that was the latest to do in the dietary industry.
Head of the curve, I like it.
yeah. So I've been skipping breakfast for maybe 6 or 7 years out of these 10 years, And now, actually, I eat breakfast again.
Yeah.
Because I wake up hungry. And I have Greek yogurt with walnuts and honey.
Yeah.
If you had told me 10 years ago that, Bitte, you will have a little honey each and every morning, I would have, you're crazy. I would never do that. That's not low carb, high fat, you know. But... This is exactly what my body wants. My tummy works better with a yogurt, and I think I've never been a nut eater. In that I can have some salty peanuts with a glass of wine or something, but now I really need those nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So I eat them because you can say it's a bit of paleo.
Yeah.
Having nuts and honey.
It's like otherwise. It's like Jamie Caparoso's paleo keto or keto paleo.
yeah, a mix of it. Yeah, and I don't think I never think keto. I never think what I'm not putting a name on what I'm eating. Yeah. I'm eating real food.
Yeah,
and for lunch and dinner, it's mostly proteins. Yeah, and
yeah, absolutely. So it's more like Sean Miner's actually intuitive keto for you.
Yeah, I'm adapting it to myself. And for many years, I've been trying to eat. My goal was to eat intuitive, to follow my intuition, Because I had a lot of colleagues that were saying that you should eat protein, the palm of your hand, and you should eat blah, 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 or veggies and blah, 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 or sauces. And I think that reminded me of Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
And it stressed me. And it stresses me all up today. If someone tells me that you should do, or no one tries to tell me nowadays what I should eat, but
I'm sure you also handle it in another way. When
I think I can do. I just I go to sleep again. Okay, but I think that the basics when people. Many years ago, when they were up in the desert or in the jungle or whatever, they instinctively knew what to eat.
Yeah,
and they also they didn't have a fridge or a freezer where they could store the food. So they ate when they had food.
Yeah,
and it's the same here. I can eat 1 kilo of ribs. It's a lot of bones, and then the day after I might just have some yogurt.
Yeah,
I might not even have cooked food, so I don't have any regular eating hours or something. I just eat when I feel that okay, now I need food.
Yeah, and I think that's very I like that a lot because it just shines a huge light on the fact that in order for this to be sustainable and not jumping between, oh, today I'm carnivore, oh, tomorrow I'm keto again, oh, tomorrow blah, 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 like we see a lot of people doing. I think it's very important to highlight that you can't, in order for this to be sustainable, being militant is not a part of it.
No. Then it depends because I've never been a sugar addict.
Yeah, of course. That's going to be my next point.
I've never been. I've never been binge eating, except for pre low carb when you had all those snacks for Friday, you know, and candies and sodas and blah blah blah. I couldn't stop eating, but it was not like binge eating in a.
No, it's Cozy Friday, and that's socially
cozy
okay.
Cozy Friday, yes,
that's socially okay. That's fine.
Oh, it's terrible, and I'm not diabetic. I don't have any illnesses, any chronic stuff. So you have to watch and see for yourself. And I think if you're an addict, you can have you need those guidelines in the beginning. And for many years. Because then we can talk about recovering from something that has a great impact in your life, and it has a lot to do with your head, with your thoughts and your thinking. So I think that is very nice if you have that problem.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the head, I must say that one of the biggest positive things about going low carb is that I've noticed that my anxiety, because I've been like all my life, I've been not anxious in that way that people can see it, but I could be like, I could get stuck on a thought on something I did like when I was 17 or 15 or 25. And I could, why should I do? Why did I do that? Oh, you could, you know, like that. And that is like, almost totally gone now. It's very seldom it happens that especially when going to bed, your mind starts going and going and grinding and grinding, and you get all mixed up in a way, messed up. I mean, but that is maybe a couple of times a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even that, I think. So it was, and also in perspective on my burnout. I had like 18 years ago. So this is something that truly helps with the psychic aspects.
Yeah, I think that's also a very important point because it does calm your body down because you're not eating all the sugar stuff. Even if you're not addicted, it doesn't matter because sugar is still a stimulant, just like alcohol and nicotine. caffeine, you know, all of these things, yeah. It's still a stimulant to the nervous system and to the body and the cells. And if you cut out, you know, part of it, at least the sugar, I think it has a significant positive impact on your nervous system and how you are able to handle yourself, really.
Yes, it is. And then it might have to do with age as well. It's a combination, I think, because you get cooler for every year as you grow up and hopefully learn something throughout the years.
And, yeah, one or two things.
And if we look at the more practical side of going low carb, my family hasn't fully adapted to what I'm doing, and I'm not trying to force them.
No point.
But just live by example. And my youngest daughter was diagnosed with celiac disease when she was 1 year approximately. Yeah. So, and my husband, he's a normal. They eat normal food. So when I started, I cooked for like sauce bolognese, and I did it low carb. And then I made gluten-free pasta for my daughter, normal pasta for my husband, and I boiled some broccolis for myself. So I had 4 casseroles going on the stove. But it wasn't any more job. I was so into this. It was not even a sacrifice doing it because it's been like I've been cooking most of the food throughout the years because I am very keen on what I put into my body. But nowadays my husband cooks as well, and my daughter, and they make food. When like yesterday we had Wiener Schnitzel, and they panera?
Breading.
They breaded their meat, and I just had mine plain.
Yeah,
it's not a problem, you know. And coming to the more practical parts of it, I've been traveling a lot, and I've never had to be starving, you know. It's always possible to travel. I've been on flights, I've been on ships, I've been on small places all over, and it's always worked for me.
Absolutely, and I've even made it a game for myself to find something in every menu. Yeah. Without it necessarily having to be flavorless, for that matter, because that is, of course, another thing where I am very happy that there are substitutions for low carb, like, for example, a Wiener Schnitzel. If you want to have the breading on, you can use, for example, pork rinds or almond flour or something, just so you get the same sensation, because that is a huge part of eating, of course. But you can also choose not to, and that's completely fine. You do what works for you. It's great.
Yes. Yeah, it's awesome. No problem. And I've noticed that because we eat out quite a lot, especially when we are in Mallorca.
Yeah.
And we go to different places and it's very seldom someone raises their eyebrow to just, what? Out of 10 times it might happen, not even once.
Exactly.
So it's like it's we've been mentioning this several times before, that it's like people, even if they are not low carb, people are more and more aware of carbs.
Yeah, I think so too.
And and I think that even low carbers can say, no, skip the French fries and give me a salad instead. Yeah. No problem. So yeah. It's just go out there and see. You can look at it as a way of educating people.
Absolutely.
Just like we've been educating Splendid Hotel.
For example. Yeah, it really doesn't have to be. Low carb is exactly as difficult as you make it, because it can also be super duper simple. And all these people
and
who... these people who are, you know, eating keto is so difficult, eating low carb is so difficult. I had to show on my Instagram profile, actually, from the moment I got up from my seat, working, It took me 7 minutes until I sat down for lunch, for example. And that is frying a couple of eggs, heating up a couple of meatballs, and hey presto, I'm done. Like, and that's a full meal, and it satiates me until dinner time, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, and it is so easy. And when I try to explain, when people say, oh, it sounds so difficult. Yeah. No, you take like protein. You can have eggs or meat or fish, for example. Yeah. And then you have some vegetables. And then you have butter or sauce if you want so, if it's a very lean meat. And there you are. It's much easier than doing all the other. You open, and it's so disgusting. That is one thing that I'm very happy for, and I'm also very disgusted. It's a hard thing, because when I feel the aroma of like pre-made meatballs nowadays, it's like
the body really adjusts to being nourished by all this fantastic food when you do change over to real food. But that's
your taste buds also comes along.
Yeah, but that's another important point, I think, with low carb. Just going back to people saying that it's difficult, I think 90% of the whole being difficult part is actually the mental thing of shit. If I don't eat bread, pasta, rice, potatoes, blah blah blah, what do I eat?
Yeah.
And because the food itself is really, really simple.
Yeah. And I was a sandwich lady.
Yes.
I ate sandwiches morning, lunch, and dinner. I could do if I was lazy. And that was always the easy and quick solution for me.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I in the beginning, I tried to make different low-carb breads.
Yeah.
But I found out that eating too much flour, even if it's from coconut or almonds or whatever, my tummy isn't happy.
No, and I understand. I understand why, because, of course, gastritis, IBS, all of this thing, they're all related, of course. And people with IBS do... Now, I'm speaking generally, I don't really have any proof or anything, but generally, they do feel better when they don't have that much fiber. And these nut flours and psyllium seed husk and all of this stuff, that's pure fiber.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course it's going to irritate your stomach.
Yes.
If you can't handle it.
It does. I thought it wasn't even worth trying to adapt to it. So I quit. The only thing I did for this Christmas, I bought a bread mix that is low carb, sort of, kind of. It's gluten free at least, and because it was a special Christmas bread that I love to have Christmas ham. Vörtbröd. Yeah. It's a special mixture of herbs and that you season the bread with, and it's so good and it's super expensive, so I just bought to make you a small bread myself, and I won't be eating it until next Christmas again.
Exactly.
And it actually worked for me. But, this is quite ironic, because I used to have severe colds, like 2 or 3 times every year before going low carb. And my throat would be swollen, and I could almost not swallow. Yeah. And I would stay at home from work for like at least a week with fever and coughing and being lousy. But that all went away after going low carb. And what happened the day before the New Year's Eve? Last year it is, I thought, I feel a bit strange. I feel a bit hot. Yeah. And I got the worst cold ever I've had for those 10 years.
And you didn't even eat anything that wasn't low carb.
Yeah, I ate some because I can eat some. As I said, I'm not sugar addict, or not, but there was it was not in those amounts that you could actually, But then I thought, what was in that bread? I don't know. Maybe it was something that I shouldn't have had that made my body sort of saying, no, you don't do that again. We'll welcome some viruses into your body now to get you to learn your lesson. I don't know. I don't know. But I never eat pre-made food otherwise. So it doesn't matter. So if you think that I think you can hear that I'm a bit swollen in my nose still, but I can see the light today, but I've been really, really bad just lying in the sofa watching Netflix. Never mind. And that is also one thing we should actually acknowledge, that when some people claim that if you go low carb, you never get sick.
Yeah.
You won't get cancer. You won't get those serious illnesses. You almost like you won't die.
Exactly. But what's it called? You're immortal.
Immortal. Yeah. And forget about that.
Yeah.
Forget it. You will get sick.
Yeah.
And you will die, finally. But you will die healthy.
Healthier than you would have.
Yes, exactly. And I think that if I have been normal, like eating like 12, 15 years ago and getting this virus, I would still be very bad. And I would have been much more sick.
Yeah.
You will get sick, but I think you can say like this, when you eat low carb, you increase your ability or the body's ability to handle viruses and bacterial things.
Yeah, because it's not preoccupied with treating sugar and gluten and stuff that maybe not that good for you. So it has more energy to go straight for the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I would like to raise also the fact that I have experience of that you can get sick because I have got cell changes that I operated on. Yeah. I had surgery this summer, and you could think that okay, but you eat low carb, you shouldn't get sick.
Mm.
But I've been doing this for for 10 years. I'm in my 11th now, and I still got this. And it also could be like, yes, if I hadn't been eating, I might have been in a worse place today than I actually am, because I feel fine and I'm not worried about this or anything nowadays. So be humble. I think it's a good way to think when it comes to low carb. Be humble and accept that we're all individuals and that we need different ways of doing this, different plans, and if anyone listening that hasn't tried it yet, my advice is try it, because it won't hurt you, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
No one will get sick from eating real food without a lot of additives and stuff, and skip the sugar. So
very wise words.
I think that's it.
One final question, though.
Yeah.
How are you going to celebrate this big day?
I am actually, this is a little secret, no one can tell my husband, because as I remember, the day I started is actually the same date as I met my husband.
Ooh.
At the end of January. So I am now looking for a good way to surprise him, to celebrate the 20 years together.
Wow.
And also to celebrate my 10 years with low carb. That will be a good one.
That's fantastic.
So I have to do, not don't mention it to him.
I'll try
it's
not
a secret.
To.
I want to surprise
okay.
him. Yes, please.
I'll try to not text him right away. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your experience. I am certain that this is going to be really valuable for very, very many of our listeners. And Yes.
Yeah, I hope so. And if they have any questions for me, they can just write a comment or contact me or come to, first of all, Keto Ladies in March.
Yes. That's a great idea.
Because I'll be there, of course. And I can have a workshop and I can sit in the evening and talk about this or whatever. So join us and come and see for yourself that I'm thriving on low carb.
Thank you for the first podcast of this year.
Yeah, thank you, Hannah.
See you next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.